Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com. You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome back to Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. We have talked about a lot of things today, to include recruiting, which is not really in our bailiwick. We don't follow it as closely as Chris Fisher, but it was great to have him. And
or a lot of Kentucky fans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, that's just... I think,
unfortunately, Mr. Boston is a good example of why we don't follow it that closely.
Hey, Louisville business owners, we are experiencing uncertainty in today's business world. Who does your executive team rely on when it comes to payroll, HR, benefit administration, and business insights into diversity, equity, and inclusion? When it comes time to make that decision, you need someone with integrity, loyalty, trustworthiness, and tenure. That is what you could expect by calling my friend Bob Schiavone at ADP. He can be reached at 502-802-1300 or bob.schiavone@adp.com. Lead your company to success by partnering with Bob at ADP. And with that,
how do you spell Schiavone?
Schiavone is spelled S-C-H-I-A-V-O-N-E. Bob Schiavone. The family, huge Kentucky fans, went to Kentucky, and his dad, I'll put a plug in for his dad, he's a 80-some doc, and he lives and dies with the Kentucky Wildcats. Football, basketball, baseball, track, doesn't make any difference. Dr. Schiavone is a Wildcat, buddy, a walking, talking Wildcat.
That's so great. That's great.
Speaking of walking, talking Wildcats, on the Kim Crawford Wines Celebrity Hotline is Jim Master, former Kentucky guard. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, Mike. Good to have Thank you for having me on. This is great.
Well, it's good to have you. I mean, neither one of us could shoot, but I know you could, and I watched you shoot, so it's good to have you on, Jim. Hey, you grew up – we asked this question to some former players we have. You grew up in Indiana, okay, and in the Fort Wayne, Indiana area. How did you get to Kentucky? What was the magnet that brought you to Kentucky for your career?
Well – a good question. Growing up as a boy, I grew up in Plymouth, Indiana, really, where about 25 miles south of Notre Dame. So I was always a huge Notre Dame kid. And then, of course, back then you didn't have all the outlets that we have now. And so thought if I got good enough, I'd be a Notre Dame player. But so the recruiting starts. We moved to Fort Wayne. Recruiting starts. It just opens your eyes up. I would have thought I'd gone to Notre Dame, but here comes Kentucky. And the easiest thing for me, Mike, was I wasn't one of these kids that wanted to visit 100 places, and I knew I wanted to stay relatively close to home. And I knew right away it was probably going to be Kentucky, Notre Dame. There was one other one I thought in there, but that pretty much was boiled down to that. So that's why it was a good recruiting for me. And in the end, I just thought Kentucky was a better place after I came down and visited, and my family and my brother and all that. So kind of just thought that might be the best place that I could become the best player I could be. So that's kind of the way it worked out.
That's a great point. I think that was the same advice I got, was to narrow it down to four or five schools before you started making visits, because that can either, you know, make it real clear or cloud what you're looking at. Now, I was sorry I did that years later when I saw the campus at Pepperdine University. I think if I had visited Pepperdine, I might have gone there. But who recruited you? Who was doing the recruiting at UK?
It was Joe Dean Jr.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yep. So, and he was very, you know, he was young, very likable, very impressive. So he was absolutely the main guy. And, of course, we got along. So that was it. He did a great job, and I ended up here.
Well, you mentioned, before we get into your career, you mentioned growing up wanting to play for Notre Dame. Dan and I played against some of the best Notre Dame teams of those eras. Johnny D was the coach, Austin Carr, Bobby Arnson, Sid Catlett, all those guys, Jones, Collis Jones, all those guys. They had terrific teams back then. Did you follow that group?
I did, and all those names you brought up, Mike, brings back, again, that's my childhood. Austin Carr was my hero.
There you go.
And Johnny D, and of course, a little bit after that, now he is a little bit after you guys, then of course, was a guy named Adrian Dantley.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Those are my big-time players I used to watch all the time when I grew up in northern Indiana.
Mike likes to bring up Notre Dame because he lit them up for 42 one night at Freedom Hall. So he always likes to bring that team up, Jim.
42 before the three-pointer, too. Yeah. Think about that.
You know, Jim, the only problem was, and I wasn't guarding this guy, but Austin Carr got 43.
he did that a lot, I think.
He certainly did. Well, let's talk about your career. You had 1,283 points. You're a 48% field goal shooter, 84 at the charity stripe. Now, in this day and age, 48%, that you would have made a lot of threes, man. They didn't have the threes back then, but you could light it up from out there if you were playing now.
Well, of course, that would have been a wonderful, fun thing for me to have. Also, though, it has changed the game to where the outside shot is a lot more important than maybe it even was in my time, meaning if you had 2 7-footers, the coaching staff might want you to get it inside a little bit. But with the day and age of the three-pointer, I think it would open the game up even more for not only me, but other people too.
Jim, 48% from the field, that'd make you an All-American the way people shoot the basketball today.
Well, I see that, and it brings a little smile to my face. So, again, that would have been a lot of fun to play with that three-pointer and some of the other rule changes they've made to the better. The shot clock keeps coming down a little bit even when we played. So I think they've done a lot of things to the game that have opened it up and, again, made the outside shot a lot more important, not a little more important. And I like the speed of the game, too, a little bit more.
Now, you were Mr. Basketball in Indiana, and I believe Roger Harden was also. We had Roger on the other day, and so we've had a couple Mr. Basketballs on. Parade All-American, McDonald's All-American. In high school, you were all everything, and you came to Kentucky. And talk to us about that change for you, and then share with us some things you remember about your career at Kentucky.
Well, like, I think all young men or anybody going to college, that's a change anyway. But I think what's beautiful about being an athlete is you have some structure. So you have a lot of structure, actually, being a Kentucky athlete, basketball. So, you know, getting into the competition right away, I still remember that. You know, it's an eye-opening experience. I played with a lot of very talented players, a lot of great athlete-type players. So that hits you in the head right away. Practice, you know, going to school and then going to these tough, very tough practices. And but it makes you grow up. It's all good. I remember you know, I remember the struggles as much as I remember the good times, and I think most of mine were good times. Played a lot early, and played a lot my whole career. Played with a lot of good teams. We never quite got over the hump. Had a couple really good years. Sam Bowie having his injuries, but I think we did a lot of good things. You know, we did win our conference 3 out of 4 times. I mean, we did some things. Got to the Final Four. Got the 2 Elite 8s, which I'm probably most proud of. And you know, really. Really had some great times and met a lot of people, and really thought I got the great experience at Kentucky, both on and off the court. Something I'm still proud of. I'm glad I went through.
Well, you're being way too humble. We want to know, give us some games that you remember where where you were filling it up.
You were Austin Carr.
Yeah. Well, remember again, if I said it enough, they didn't have the 3-pointer. So, the greatest game I played in was easily the first Louisville game in 1983. I always like to tell people, one, because it was Louisville, we hadn't played them, I think, in 25 years. Two, it was for it was in the Elite Eight, so it was to go to the Final Four. And so that was extremely memorable. And, of course, it ended in a tie after 40 minutes. Pretty interesting. Of course, the rest wasn't. But that game was very memorable, and I played extremely well, so that was fun. And but a lot of those Louisville games we played, and Indiana games with Bobby Knight, very memorable. I think my best game was, I think, I had 29 against Auburn, and we got beat in Rupp Arena, the only game we lost in Rupp Arena in the regular season in my 4 years. They had a guy named Charles Barkley and Chuck Person on that team, I believe. So, you know, I did have some fun, great games, fun to have a lot of scoring games. That's what I did most. So it was fun. Had a lot of good times. And like I said, playing the 2 Elite 8s and then being at least making it to the Final Four, you know, at least I did a lot of things that some people haven't got the opportunity to do.
Being a former Mr. Basketball in Indiana, what was it like? And did Knight say anything to you when you played the Hoosiers?
Well, he said a lot to me a lot of times, but he, as you guys know, and you guys are well accomplished more so than me, but you guys know that he was the man for maybe a decade or 2 decades in college basketball, and of course, especially in Indiana, but. My favorite story about him kind of is, I have a lot of them, but he recruited me, but, so I go down there for a visit, unofficial. By the way, Mike, it was, and Dan, it was very interesting. It was the Kyle Macy, 1979, when he was coaching the Pan American team, so they were practicing, of course, at Bloomington. So I went down there and watched and did my little visit and took me around the campus and all that. But he was real rough, duh, and just said to me point blank after the, you know, run around all there, I am 17, 18, do you want to come here? Well, you know, that just wasn't who I was. I was like, I don't know. Probably the wrong answer. and I laugh a little bit, and I'll try to be as brief, but, you know, people say, why didn't you go to Indiana? I like Bobby Knight. You know, he was a legend back then and all that. But they had one decent player that they just recruited named Isaiah Thomas. But they also had another player similar to me, was Randy Whitman.
Sure.
So my point was they kind of were stacked, I thought, at that position. And that's probably why I didn't go to Indiana. But Bobby Knight, a lot of nice things he said to me. But it's a rough guy. and the good news, guys, that's one thing I'm proud of, too. We beat Indiana my 4 years at Kentucky, 4 out of 5 games.
How about that? Yeah.
So that was pretty good for us.
Well, you mentioned the U of L game, and we appreciate your time. We're talking with Jim Master, former Kentucky legend. And you mentioned playing Louisville in that first game in the Elite Eight. Did you guys feel the pressure as much as maybe Big Blue Nation felt the pressure?
I would assume you guys have been through tons of big things. I didn't feel any pressure. I didn't feel any pressure. You know, you kind of, at that level, you played in a lot of games. And the cool thing, again, was it was the Elite Eight. It was for the big marbles. And it was I thought it was more exciting and invigorating and, well, this is where I want to be. And just great. You know, a lot of course, it was in Knoxville, too, if you get the point. There's,
yeah.
Here we are playing them in 25 years. We're playing them in Knoxville, which we haven't had a lot of success at. And it was an Elite Eight. So, nope, I don't really think pressure in my mind at all. I think my thought process is more of glad to compete, glad to be in the Elite Eight. I was playing well at the time. So I had a lot of confidence, and it was a lot of beautiful memories of everything about that game until the end. Everything about it till the end. So. Yeah.
Jim, catch everybody up on what you're doing now.
Well, unfortunately, we all get older. I've been doing this career, which has been great, beautiful, for almost 30 years. Hilliard Lyons was the firm everybody's pretty familiar with in Kentucky and really all the surrounding states. We sold out about 2 years ago to a firm called Baird. But the bottom line is I've been in the financial managing money thing for 30 years. My brother's worked with me for the last 15. It has been a wonderful thing for me and my family, and something I think I've done fairly well at, and I enjoy it. So that's what I've been doing. Lived in Lexington the whole time. So.
You know, Jim, that's great that you had two terrific careers, one as a player, and then now you're so happy with your current situation as a financial advisor. And most guys aren't that lucky, man. Most guys aren't that lucky.
Well, I have followed your all's careers and things and enjoy the opportunity to talk to you guys, and I say hi to you when I see you. But it's been a fun ride for me. And my son, you guys get to, you know, I started a little late in life on the family part, but that's been beautiful. And I have a son, and he could almost care less about Kentucky basketball. So you know how it goes. Who cares? I'll take him down to the games. He'll sit on the front row. I made him go the first 5 years for one game. And, you know, after about the cotton candy wore off, Mike, time to come home, he said. So anyway, but it's all good.
You know? he liked the ice cream, didn't he? I've got some like that myself. Yeah.
And then he'll say, Mike and Danny, he'll say, Daddy, how come everybody knows you? Yeah. So you try to explain to him, but it's just funny to me. But anyway.
Once you've played at Kentucky, that's something that'll follow you for the rest of your life, Jim. I'm sure it has come in handy in your professional life, but once you've been at UK and worn that uniform, people never forget you.
I totally agree, and that is a beautiful, nice thing, and especially living in the area. And correct, it's wonderful. I think for those of us, if you do all the right things in life, which everybody should, you can reap a lot of rewards, and it's a lot of fun to be recognized. It's a lot of fun when people want to talk about a game or tell us about an experience. It brings up a lot of beautiful memories for me. So.
Well, Jim, we appreciate your time, buddy, and we enjoyed watching you play. And remember that U of L game. Wasn't at it, but remember the game on television. And come back again. We'll share some more stories or talk some hoops.
Good job, guys. I appreciate you having me on, and look forward to seeing you guys in the future.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
How about that?
Yep.
Mr. Basketball in Indiana. Man, I tell you what, that's quite an honor. And in a basketball crazy state, is quite an honor.
It's an unbelievable honor, and to be mature enough to realize that if he went to Indiana, he was going to sit and watch for a while, and passed up that opportunity. I can imagine there's not very many Mr. Basketballs in Indiana that had the opportunity to tell Bob Knight, well, I don't know if I want to come here.
Oh, boy, I might not have. Well, I kind of would have liked to be a fly on the wall when he told Bob Knight, no, I'm not coming. Did Knight slam the phone down? Did he cuss him out? What did he say? I'm sure the last last thing Knight said to him was, "Well, you know, best of luck."
Yeah. I'm sure. And I've told this story before. Bob Knight recruited me. Came
to Army.
Sat in my living room, and I love Bob Knight. I thought he was a straight up guy. He was exactly like my high school coach. I mean, tough, straight shooter. And I thought about going to Army.
Wait a minute.
Until they told me after 4 years I'd be in the rice paddies in Vietnam. It kind of lost its luster after that.
Now, Process, to chime in here. This is Dan Issel. Can you see him sitting in a tank someplace? I mean, come on. He couldn't be a tanker. He's too tall to be an infantryman.
Yeah, you're kind of a big target, Dan. I think you probably made the right decision to, you know, go to Kentucky.
Well, you know, those are great memories, and it was good to have Jim on, and he has made he has had a really neat career athletically in post athletic. You know, that's what it's all about. And to be remembered, that's what you go to a college for.
You know what? He must be doing very well if he's sitting in the front row at UK. I don't know too many people who are in the front row. I'm not.
Me.
You are.
No, I'm not. Well, I am, but my regular seats are up in the rafters. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So speaking of which, did you get your invoice yesterday?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Got our UK ticket invoice.
Well, I was a little question. I was going to – a little curious to see if we got – you know, a lot of people don't know. We buy one and get one free laboring there.
What I want to know is – if you don't buy the second ticket, do they still give you one for nothing? Because I've never seen any place where you get an option not to buy the second ticket.
Well, you know, that was given to people back in our day, and we're slowly dwindling, so I guess they can afford to leave us in our free seat.
You mean they don't get...
I think somebody told me they stopped that in the 80s, late 80s, 90s.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, some former players told me that. Of course, we had that option as long as we kept it going. Once we missed a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you lost
you had
it.
You had to keep going. But I guess if they kept it going, half the lower bowl at Rupp Arena would be free tickets to the Letterman.
And that wouldn't make
Wasn't that the deal?
That was the deal.
You got a free ticket,
yep.
And you got a chance to buy a second ticket.
Correct.
If you lettered.
Right.
If you were a Letterman on the basketball team.
That's correct. And, of course, it's small numbers. I mean, if you did it in football, half the stadium, you know. I don't know what football
but
does.
But they quit doing it. I'm surprised they didn't kick us out at the same time.
Well, probably was close. I got two things I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
First of all, the Reds bullpen, they're playing the Twinkies, and they just
can we stop talking about the Reds having a chance to make the playoffs now?
No. But if you lose two to the Twinkies, who are in last place in their division, then you probably can slow down the chatter.
Well, and they had the lead last night. And we've talked about their bullpen and how ineffective they've been. And, you know, they made – those were the only moves they made at the trade deadline, were bringing in some bullpen help. But they had one guy last night came in. They were winning by a run, right?
Yep.
I think the Reds were up a
six
run.
6-5, I believe, or 5-4.
And a guy comes in. Walk one, walk two, home run, game over.
It's that simple, isn't it?
And they had a chance because the Pittsburgh Pirates finally beat the Brewers after going 0-19 or something like that. So they had a chance to catch up, to make up a game.
I know. I think they got a half a game maybe. I'm not sure. They might have moved. They were seven down. I think I saw they're 6.5 now or maybe 7.5 and they're seven. But, yeah, they're a long shot, man.
And they've got a businessman special this afternoon.
Oh, do they? Yeah, in Pittsburgh?
No. The Reds against
Oh, the Reds. Reds. But did you see you make fun of the Reds in their attendance. Did you see how many people were at the Pirates game? You talk about 7,500. There wasn't 7,500. I watched a little on the Major League Baseball Network. Yep. And, you know, you could have shot a cannon through there, probably not hit anybody.
Well, I mean, would you pay money to go watch the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Well, if I had a business and I had some clients that were that inclined, I probably would buy tickets. But outside of that, no.
I mean, I consistently hear PNC Park is among, if not the best ballpark in all the MLB.
It's supposed to be, yeah.
It's just a damn shame because, you know, Dave Parker and Pop Starzl aren't exactly showing up right now.
I know one thing. They've got the best view to sit there and look across the Clemente Bridge at downtown Pittsburgh. It's a gorgeous view from the ballpark.
And they've cleaned the air up so you can see now in Pittsburgh.
The trouble is the view's a whole lot better than what's going on the field.
Speaking about views.
Yes.
You know, before we go to break, I've got to throw one little new term that I picked up. Now, I didn't start this, but I picked this up. Talking about a player in the NBA.
Wait a second. I need to get my glossary notebook out.
No, just write this down. You can use it later on. You can use this, okay?
Right.
A writer was talking about a free agent that was available to somebody. I can't remember.
Baseball or basketball?
Basketball. And he was a 6'7", 6'8", swing guy. You know, the what they like to call 3-and-D. Shoot the 3 and play D. This guy was defined. His offensive skills were limited now. He's 6'8", but he can play the wing, and he is defensively portable. Portable.
What does that mean?
That means he
I thought portable meant you could drink the water.
Well, that's part of the definition, but portable in this particular definition is that he can guard a 2 through a 5.
Defensively portable.
So that was the justification of giving him $10 million a year. He was a free agent available to somebody. Somebody snatched him up. So from now on, baseball over. Process is your baseball is are the guys?
Yeah.
Yep.
The softball season.
Yeah. I wanted you to kind of define yourself as defensively portable.
If I ever play softball again, Mike, I can promise you I will define myself as defensively portable.
All right. Let's hear it for the defensively portable process. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. And we've got a few things we want
to
talk about.
Well, we still have to get to Wiley Wednesday.
I know our
listeners have said, hey, the first hour and a half, that's okay. But we want to hear Wiley Wednesday.
That is coming up, and we will be back.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Well, welcome back to Sports Talk, Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. And like so many of my friends, you may be searching for your dream home, but be sure you get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com, NMLS number 8259, equal housing lender. So before we get to Wiley Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Couple things I was wanting to talk to you about. You saw where Sydney McLaughlin, the UK sprinter, the little lady, little gal that flies, she set a record, won her gold last night.
Good for her.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier. I really enjoyed watching the finals in most of the sports, not all, but you know, some of them that I watched. When the winner takes the flag of their country and puts it on behind
them. Don't you love that?
I love it.
I mean,
it's great.
That's basically how the Olympics started. It was pride in your country and countries competing against one another. And I love it when these athletes take pride in the fact. I mean, you know, first of all, you have to take pride in yourself because it's been such a sacrifice for any of these Olympians. The way they train, in anonymity most of the time. They only get their time in the spotlight during the Olympics. But you got to be happy for them because they've worked so hard to be the best in the world. But then the fact that they take pride in representing their country, wearing the flag. I mean, there are a lot of things wrong with this country. There are a lot of things wrong with every country. But, you know, it's still the greatest country in the world.
And the positivity, it's like the one prior to Sydney's race, the gal from Jamaica won. And she was so happy. She had a smile as big as All Outdoors, man. Put that flag behind her. And I just thought, well, that is really cool.
Yeah, no. I love seeing that. That's for sure.
So the football Giants have a fight. Football Giants have a fight in training camp. And they almost hurt their quarterback.
He was on the bottom of the pile. Evidently, he jumps in trying to break it up and winds up on the bottom of the pile. And the coach, Judge, He made them pay for it.
Yes, he did.
He made them run the stairs. He made them sprint on the field. And then, as Adolf used to say, told them to go take a bath.
A bath. What do you think of that football stuff? Did you see Process? I mean, Process is our football guy now, Dan. Did you see this morning they talked about my boys, the Pumpkin Heads?
I did not. I tried to catch it. I could not find it.
Come on now.
I know you told me, and I marked it in the calendar in my head, and I tried to look for it, and I could not find it.
Hey, Process, my birthday boy here paid you a compliment the other day. He said, you know, I've been trying to think of somebody we could have come on the show and talk about professional football. Mm-hmm. He said, but we've got an expert sitting right here behind the glass. We don't need anybody but Process.
That's nice to hear. I really appreciate that. I try.
Yeah, pro football is your bag.
It is. It's, yeah. I mean, you know, I would sit here and run games at night, and I didn't want to watch TV, so I just sat there and I just wrote about football, and it just kind of became like that. Mm. But, yeah, so I told Drew today, the thing about Daniel Jones being at the bottom of the pile, he is entering his third year, and after your third year, they make a decision on whether or not they want to pick up your fifth-year option, which is where you really start getting paid. So, and I said, if I'm Daniel Jones or if I'm a player entering my third year, I'm wrapping myself in bubble wrap because I want that fifth-year option. I'm not jumping to the bottom of that pile.
Well, I think it might be a while before they fight again after the way that Judge made them run the stairs and do sprints on the field.
And we talked about league expansion. We talked about, you know, what's going to go on, anything else besides Texas and Oklahoma, and the exit fees. We talked about Maryland supposedly beat the ACC down from 50 to 30 million
when they left.
Right, threatened lawsuits, this and that, and we don't know what's going to happen with the SEC and Oklahoma and Texas. And now I read where Eastern Kentucky and Jacksonville State left the OVC. And Eastern Kentucky's been, I think, maybe a charter member of that league.
Yeah, I would guess so. They've been there a long time.
They're going to the A-Sun, all right? And they're now refusing to pay their exit fees. And there's a battle going on over that. And it's almost like these schools want it to be free agency, you know? You don't have to pay a price to break your contract.
To move around. What I wanted to ask you about this discussion about the Pac-12 and the Big 12. What does the Pac-12 need with the Big 12?
I don't know. I think it's all about this. They're all trying to put together the best TV package they can to up their annual fee on TV. And I think they think that they could have a marriage schedule-wise, you follow me, mm-hmm. With the Pac-12, which really I think they're only eight now. But I'm sorry, the Big 12. So, but let me ask you this. I read that too, Dan, and my question is, what in God's name does Oregon and Washington State, Oregon State need in a TV game against TCU or Kansas State. What is in that?
That's why I think it's all baloney. I think the commissioner of the big whatever they are now, eight or I think he's just trying to put the best possible spin on whatever he can. The Fox and ESPN declined to renegotiate their TV deal, and you know right now they're counting their blessings that they didn't renegotiate it now that Texas and Oklahoma are gone. But I think it's all smoke and mirrors. I agree with you. The Pac-12 doesn't need the Big 12.
Speaking of things out west, the Giants, were playing. I don't know who they were playing, but they had a guy on second base last night. They may have been playing the Rockies, maybe. Okay, I think they were playing the Rockies.
No, the Cubs played the Rockies.
Okay, maybe it was, I don't know, maybe Seattle.
Arizona.
Well, okay, the D-backs. So they got a guy on second, and I think a guy on first.
Arizona does?
Yep, and Johnny Cueto, former Reds, is pitching, and he throws one in the dirt. So the catcher does a nice job of blocking it.
Posey, or is Posey playing in the
I don't
field?
Know. Didn't say who it was.
Okay.
I don't think Posey's playing right now, but maybe he is. Blocks it beautifully. Ball rolls out to the left. Catcher takes his mask off, looks at the guys on base. Then, instead of picking the ball up, he throws his mask over the ball. That ball wasn't going in. He put his mask over the ball.
It's in fair territory?
Yeah, it's right there in the batter's box. Right there in the batter's box. I mean, it just, you know, he dug it out of the dirt. He popped it out. It's right there in the batter's box to his left. All he's got to do is reach down and get it. He takes the mask off and puts it over the ball. The umpire goes nuts, stops, and moves all the runners around. I mean, that's something you would see in Little League, man. Takes his mask off and covers the ball.
Oh,
all he had to do is reach down and pick it up. Oh, you got to see it. They'll run it
funny.
Again.
Okay.
It's funny watching
right.
it
yeah,
because
watch.
He peeps up to see. And then he's
and
got,
they're not running.
No.
They're not going
because the ball's
place.
Right there in front
yeah,
of him.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like they got it was a pass ball. It was right there in front of him to his left. Oh, it was hilarious. You got to watch that. You got to watch it. So and before we get to Wiley Wednesdays, we have talked about stacking money, free agency.
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot has gone on. By the way, Malik Monk being traded to or signing with, not traded to, signing with the Lakers. How about that?
Yeah. And they and also Carmelo Anthony is
what do you
going.
Think of that?
You know, Carmelo, he tried to fit in Portland. He wasn't the ball stopper in Portland. And, you know, we've talked about this so many times, Michael. You get to the point of his career. I mean, he's accomplished everything there is to
37?
Accomplish. He's a Hall of Famer, no question about it. And, you know, at this point, the only thing missing from his legacy, if you will, is a championship. So I think if he plays, and I'm sure he will now, if he plays with the same mannerisms that he played in Portland and tries to win games instead of score points, I think he'll be helpful.
It looks like the Lakers have found some guys, a lot of guys like Anthony, who would be available for veteran mid-level exemptions.
Yep.
I don't know how much money that is, but that was a term that was thrown around.
It was $5 million a year, but that was 100 years ago.
Okay,
it's probably more than that now.
So they got some guys that they're signing like that. And, of course, Monk, I don't know what he got, but they're trying to fill
Monk
some.
Monk got 1.7.
Is that all? He made more than that his rookie year. Yeah, wow. So he's they cast him to the wolves, didn't they? The Hornets just cast him out.
What
there.
I want to know is what in the world are the Bulls doing? Did you see what they did yesterday?
I thought about you.
I mean, we talked about to beat it to death. We talked about giving Ball $85 million. They sign and trade DeRozan from San Antonio and give him a big 3-year contract. It looks to me like they got 3 or 4 players making big money that all do the same thing.
Yeah, I thought of you when I read that, and I thought, you know, I really think Billy Donovan's a hell of a basketball coach and a nice guy, but he's terrific. And now he's got this club that the Bulls are trying to market, okay, as a new and retuned Bulls team. Talk about making the playoffs, maybe making a run at the championship. And you said it the other day, that team's not going to win the NBA championship.
Not with those players. And the thing that surprises me, and process help us here, I know the guy that is their new GM there. He was the GM in Denver. A great guy, played overseas, I think, for his playing career. He had a son that played against my grandson in Little League basketball. But he's got a great reputation.
Mark Eversley.
Yeah, they hired him away from the Nuggets, right?
No.
No, well then who's the head of basketball operations?
I will look into it.
It's a maybe Czechoslovakia or Slovenia or one of those places. But anyway, he's got a great – but, boy, it's hard to make sense out of what the Bulls are doing.
Really is. I mean, I thought about you when I read that article. And then Levine wants to be paid respectfully.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be paid. I don't care whether it's respectfully or not. I want to be paid, right?
I think that that's translation for the max.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it
yeah.
is. I think it is. All right. It is Wiley Wednesday.
All right.
Do you have some stuff for me?
No.
Oh, man, come on. Process,
no.
Jump in here and listen, and I'll try. I'm going to start you two guys with an easy one.
Okay.
Okay? An easy one. What was the first basketball hoops? What were the first basketball hoops made of?
Peach baskets.
Peach baskets, right? It says trash cans, peach baskets, chicken wire, fishing nets. I let you in on an easy one there.
Okay.
Now, here's one for
here's
you.
Here's the thing that is remarkable is that when they first played, they didn't have they had the basket had a bottom in it.
Yep. A peach basket.
And they had to climb the ladder to get the ball out of the basket after somebody scored. I don't know how long it took them, but some genius came up with the idea, if you cut the bottom out of the basket, you won't have to climb the ladder.
Probably. You know how they probably figured that out? Somebody fell off the ladder. All right, here's one for you, boys. What car maker has historically provided the Vatican with Pope mobiles? Mercedes-Benz, Ferrari, Maserati, or Ford?
Well, it would have to be an Italian car.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Maserati.
What about you, Process?
See, I was thinking Mercedes, but yeah, I'll take Mercedes.
Okay. You're going to take Mercedes. And it is Mercedes. How about that?
There you go.
It is Mercedes. Process. One for the home team. One for Process. All right. I had one more here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The man who invented the sandwich.
The sandwich. The Earl of Sandwich.
John Montega.
Okay.
Okay. Who was he? I mean, you know, what was he? Was he a baker? Was he a scientist? Was he a nobleman? Or was he a physician?
He was a nobleman.
Man, a nobleman.
He was a nobleman because he was the Earl of Sandwich.
All right. You guys are too slick for me, man. I can't get you. I can't get you. And you're right. All right. The Earl of Sandwich.
We have one more. We had a texter that wanted to know what the five tools of baseball were. So we'll incorporate that into Wiley Wednesday.
Yeah, let's do that. But this is the last one before we get.
I thought you were done.
Okay.
I thought you were finished.
What nickname is written on every NFL football?
What nickname?
Yep. What nickname? And let me give you your options.
Duke.
The Duke, Sweetness, Mean Joe, or Night Train?
It's Duke.
You guys, I can't fool you. You're right.
We got that one without even being given options.
I know. You guys are too daggone good. Last one before we get to five tools.
you can't. The only reason we're letting you go this long with this stuff is because it's your birthday.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Which American city is the original Monopoly based on? Miami, Florida, Venice Beach, California, New York, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Atlantic City, New Jersey.
All right, let's see here. And you are right again. Man, I can't stump you guys. And Dan Issel's the best at this. Any process? I mean,
yes,
you don't even
is.
Have a chance to open your mic, and he's on it.
I mean, it makes sense. The Atlantic City is the only one with a boardwalk, so hey, there you go.
There you go. See?
Can't fool you, Sharpies. Can't fool you, Sharpies.
All right, tell our texter what the five tools of baseball are.
Do you want to tell him?
No, because I don't have it down here.
Oh, well. You want me to go to my cheat sheet?
Yeah.
Cheat sheet?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. Easy for you to say.
Speed, yeah. Speed. Throwing. Speed and throwing.
Okay.
Fielding.
Okay.
Hitting for average and hitting for power.
There you go.
How about
five
that?
Tools of baseball.
Five tools. Five tools of baseball.
Hmm.
And a texter sent in about the catcher.
that threw his mask over.
Yeah.
Former Vandy catcher and former Reds catcher.
Yep, Kirk Casale.
There you go.
Yeah, I went and watched that. I did not know you couldn't do that. I never thought about throwing my mask over.
I never did either, but when I was in Little League, I had a catcher did that all the time because I was wild.
That's fair. Look, if I'm seeing the umpire, I'm going to him. I'm going, show me the rule. Show me where it says I can't throw my mask at the ball, and then I'll accept it.
Well, you know, the NBA is in Major League Baseball. They always have the cutoff deadlines. They always have this and that. You know, you can't do this before that.
I know where you're going.
And most people, they want to blame a player or a general manager. Dan Issel's a general manager. He did something, you know, that they don't like, and they don't understand why he did it. But the behind the scenes in pro sports is where it's at, right? I mean, what was the agent movie that that was out about?
Show Me the Money.
Yeah, I mean, the agent
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah,
Jerry Maguire.
And you know, that was reality. People don't want to understand it, but I've always said the most powerful people in the game. I mean, put the players aside. Outside of the players, the next most powerful people are the agents.
Yeah, especially these super agents.
Yep.
I mean, a guy like Scott Boros in baseball.
Who would be the basketball equivalent to Scott Boras?
Oh, I don't know anymore.
Donald Dell had a group out of D.C.
Yeah. It used to be Donald Dell. There were a couple. What was the agency that
the big one now, CAA. That's okay. The big one now in New York. World Wide West is there, I think, or maybe they hired him away from there. But that's the big one now, CAA.
Okay.
But LeBron's got his too. It's clutch.
Yeah, you got Rich Paul. Yeah,
Rich Paul, that's clutch.
Yeah. And then you have Jeff Schwartz is currently representing Kemba, Chris Middleton, Jokic, and Kevin Love.
Who would be the big one at football?
Probably Rosenhaus.
Yeah, Drew Rosenhaus.
Still, he's been there a long time.
He's been around forever.
Yeah. Those guys are about me because they represent so many people and they represent so many good people that they can call the shots. You're absolutely right.
Didn't Rosenhaus do a lot of quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm. He does a lot of. I mean, in my mind, I always think of Terrell Owens was a big Rosenhaus guy. He, like, when Terrell Owens was having all his fallouts with pick any team he was on, Rosenhaus was always at the forefront of it. So every time I hear X player has Rosenhaus as his agent, I go, oh, they're probably a problem.
Is he a driver of salaries? Because you mentioned Boros. He has made the Major League Baseball folks nuts.
Yeah.
He just milks every nickel out of them that he can. And you know, I mean, they don't have to pay it, but they do have to pay it. And he's doing his job. I mean, he's got a job.
No, that's his job. And that's why when I was a general manager, there really wasn't in basketball, there really wasn't a big guy. There were a lot of guys that had, you know, a handful. And they, of course, having that few players, they didn't have the power that some of these super agents have, and there was a lot of movement too. I mean, a guy didn't get the deal he wanted; he was off to the next guy. So
a lot of that,
yeah.
Now, was there one guy you really enjoyed working with more than say the rest, or a couple guys that you really enjoyed working with that you thought were fair?
No. I told you the story about the guy that. Ron Mercer had representing him. I'd never seen this guy before. They come in, they roll up to the, it was McNichols Arena at the time, and there's two of them, and they've got a limousine long enough that the entire team could have ridden up to the arena, and there's just the two of them in this huge limo. And we have the meeting, and the guy says to me, you know, we think Ron Mercer's the next Michael Jordan. And I had to bite my tongue to say, oh, yeah, how many times did Michael Jordan get traded? But I never dealt with him. That was the only time I had to deal with him.
In basketball, I think.
And that didn't turn out well.
To your point, I think basketball had a reputation of guys picking up two or three players. And then there was a guy out of New York when we had Cedric Maxwell at Charlotte. He had like one client, but he just wore us out. And he had the New York fast pitch. You know what I mean? He was in there pitching. Quick talking, everything. And Maxwell didn't go with him. But, I mean, he was there. His name was Don Cronson. Huh. Don Cronson, yeah. But the point of all this is, Dan, that 50 players have new contracts as of 6 p.m. Monday night.
NBA.
50 guys. Today's Wednesday. 6 p.m. Monday was the start of free agency. 50 guys have new contracts.
Quick negotiators.
So tell me how that happens, how they get that contract at 6 p.m. Monday night to now. Tell me how that happens. And nobody's supposed to talk.
We're almost done today, and so I'll explain it to you tomorrow. But I want to thank everybody for listening today, thank our guests. And, Michael, have a very, very happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you singing.
See you all tomorrow.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations, but they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.